Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Casey Johnson is the basketball man for the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
How are you guys doing? What's going on?
Well, it is very exciting. Thank God the Bulls won that coin flip. That's all I can say.
How about that?
They could have been picking two, huh? But you know what? I mean, I believe what John said. There's really nothing you can do about it. It's out of your control. You got to just embrace it and move on. But, man, I mean, the whole horror of that season comes down to the unlucky lottery and, unfortunately, 7 instead of 6 and 7 instead of 2 and 7.
This from the franchise that overcame 1.7% odds to draft the youngest MVP in league history. I mean, it's a lottery. I mean, you take what you get, whether it's good or bad. It's completely out of your control. It's completely luck. It's completely random. But sure, there's some disappointment that you drop from 6 to 7. I don't think you can focus much on the 7 to 2 thing. I mean, obviously that was painful to see, but you just, again, there's literally nothing you can do about it. So, you know, I like John's approach. He several times said, we're going to get a player we like. We're going to get a player that fits. And look, you know, we were talking about it last night in the workroom all night long. I mean, you redraft last year's draft. Where's Lauri Markkanen going? He's what, probably 3, 4 maybe? And he was picked 7th last year. So it's on them now. They got to get an impact player at 7 because that's where they're going to be drafting.
In retrospect now, Casey, you know, first of all, how valuable is the 22nd pick in this draft? Because, again, you pick any draft and find a Jimmy Butler on occasion down in the tail end of the draft. But would they have been better off had Nico not gone on that roll in December and said, we're going to win tonight, and then a lot of nights he led them to a win, and you got that first-round pick for Nico that no one expected? And would you rather have had a better chance of being a top-3 team in this draft?
Well, you know, at the time, it was pretty well known that Nico didn't want to be here. And, you know, also Nico wanted to start. And John told you guys on your very airwaves that, you know, Nico's timeline in terms of his financial payout didn't align with the rebuild. So there are a lot of reasons beyond getting the first-round pick, which to me still is almost miraculous that that happened, given the lack of interest in him last February at the trade deadline and the lack of interest he had in restricted free agency last summer. So there are a lot of reasons that management was set on training Nico. And to me, the biggest one was that Nico didn't want to be here anymore.
That's my point. You didn't think you were going to get a first-round pick for him, but you did because he played well enough to do it, and there was a team that needed him. But would you have been better off if Nico was just still Nico and you didn't go on that 10-2 run?
Yeah, and basically what you're asking is, you know, is a top-3 pick better than 7-22?
Yes.
Probably. But I'll say this. Here's where 22 is valuable. I mean, beyond the fact you can find a Jimmy Butler or a Kyle Kuzma, you know, and those are rare, or Taj Gibson, you know, but those are rare. But, you know, Bobby Portis was a 22. He's a solid rotation guy. He's not a great player. He's a very, very good player, very good reserve rotation player. But here's what 22 is valuable. In this rebuild, you're going to have to pay Zach LaVine this summer, Chris Dunn in a couple summers, Lauri Markkanen in several summers, and you still need another impact player. At 22, you can get a rotation player that's going to be making a rookie-scale contract for 5 years. and that's important. And that's on them to hit on that pick. You got to get a rotation player there. So, look, first-round picks are huge currency in this day and age because you got to pay stars, and you got to get more than one star to win a championship, and you need those that cheap rotation filler around that to make this all work.
Would you combine those picks, and I don't know if it would be enough, but for a guy like Kawhi Leonard?
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
You got to have those conversations. Look, everyone just assumes Kawhi and the Spurs are done. I'm not as sold as anybody else. They still have the right to pay him the Supermax, and no other team can pay him. You know, nobody knows Greg Popovich's status or situation because obviously his unfortunate and tragic personal situation with the loss of his wife. But, he's on record. I know he's taken what have viewed to be some shots at Kawhi, but he's also got a very strong relationship with Kawhi. So I'm not as sold that Kawhi is for sure out of there as some people. That said, you absolutely have to explore that situation if the Spurs make him available. Here's the thing, though. If those conversations start, Lauri Markkanen will be asked for and probably not backed off for from the Spurs, guaranteed. So it's not going to be 7-22 that's going to be getting Kawhi Leonard to Chicago. It's going to be 7-22
right.
Or one of those. Yeah, one of those and a prominent player. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's,
great player.
All-NBA player.
Two-time?
I thought you were going with you take 7-22 and try to move up.
Yeah.
That was obviously asked and answered last night.
Yes.
And, I thought John pretty much put his cards on the table
yeah.
and said, he said, that's very hard to do. And we're not even sure we want to do that. And look, this is what I go back to. They are looking at 22 as an opportunity to add a rotation player who's going to be on a rookie scale contract for 5 years. So, I do think it'd be very, very difficult to do that in this draft, given how much those top 3-4 picks are going to be valued. And I know for a fact the Bulls are looking at this as an opportunity to add two young, talented players at 7-22.
How many players do you think are in the tier of players he talked about? And Pac's talking, saying 4-10, how much difference really is there in this draft? It really is top 3 players and then a fall off to number 4. And as you said, why would you package 22 to move up to 4 if you don't believe 4 is any different than 7, 8, 9, 10?
Yeah, I think it's probably about 5 or 6 players that they've tiered, that were going to be there if they were at 6 or 7. And, everyone forgets that everyone focused on 6, but 7 was the second highest probability, and it was pretty high. So they were planning to be 6 or 7, and I would guess there's probably 5 players that got tiered there. Just guessing here, but John also said this last night, and this is obvious, but a lot of what they do determines on what's done before them. There are a lot of wild cards before them. The Mavericks and the Magic come to mind immediately, as you don't quite know what they're going to do because the players projected at those slots are play positions that the Mavericks and the Magic are pretty much settled at. So. Look, it's now all the mock drafts come, now the combines this week, the individual meetings happen, the workouts, the getting the guys in the building, which John said for the 7th pick probably isn't going to happen until June. So, there's a lot of roads still here to travel, but I sensed a lot of confidence last night. And, this is a team that obviously hit with the 7th pick last year, and I sense a lot of confidence coming from John and Gar last night.
You mentioned Lauri Markkanen. The Bulls have also employed a lot of 7th overall picks, not necessarily guys they took, although some are guys they took. Corey Brewer, Luol Deng, and Kirk Heinrich. Richard Hamilton, the Phantom of the Opera himself, was a 7th overall pick. Luke Longley, the giant Australian. Q Daly, believe it or not. I think I missed Tim Thomas in there, who was here at some point for a year or two. They've had a lot of 7th-round picks float in and out of town.
Well, and 2 of those are obviously, and Brian was covering this. Two of those are very obviously prominent and early in John Paxson's tenure. Kirk being the first pick, the emergency pick when Jay Williams had the motorcycle accident and they had the exploratory talks to try to get to Dwayne Wade and ended up getting Kirk, and obviously a great player for the Bulls. And then Deng was a draft day trade, actually, with the Suns. But, yeah, from the seventh slot, same day they got Ben Gordon. So, yeah, that's. I mean, I'm telling you, I just sense, you know, we kept hammering them with the disappointment. Kings jumping to two. You guys dropping 6-7, and I just sense resolute confidence from John.
Is there a sense of relief, Casey, in the idea that, you know, if they liked a guy one of the Bridges and they wanted to take him and now they get to do it? You know what I mean? Like if they had already mentally understood it wasn't going to be a top three pick and they figured they know it's not going to be 4 or 5, so maybe the second tier – you know, maybe they'd looked at it already. I don't know, but I'm with you. John seemed not bothered by it, which makes me think there's somebody that he likes that will be there, right?
I completely agree with that. And also, you guys know this. There's also a sense of relief now that, okay, it's over. Now we lock in. Now we're at 7. Now we start, you know, getting to the agents and, you know, all right, we want this guy in. When can we get him into our building, you know, beyond the combine this week? And so – now there's certainty, and now you start making the calls to, you know, to the other teams. All right, we got 7-22. You know, what does that do? Or we got 7-this. You start moving forward with your process, and you know all teams like to get to that process. All teams have it in place, and you know, again, I just see the Bulls looking at this as the next step in the rebuild. Obviously, the big one was the taking a deep breath and trading Jimmy Butler. They like what they've got from that return and done Markkanen and Levine. And I feel like this closes the book on that because they felt like they're going to be adding a high pick. And I just sense like, all right, this is what we got next. 7-22. Let's get it. Let's go nail these picks.
All right, KC. Thank you, buddy. Great talking to you. You know, no matter what they do, they're not going to be able to put together a team like Golden State. That's the sad reality of life.
Not in my lifetime.
That is this series is the greatest. This is the greatest basketball series I've ever seen. It's Ali Frazier.
There we go.
Contrast the styles. I watched that game.
Wait till tonight's game.
In awe.
Yeah.
Houston doesn't seem to have any kind of move they can make. Seems like it's over.
But it seemed like Mike D'Antoni's already on the defensive.
Championships don't define teams.
Yeah. And Boston, I mean, the nice story, fun, but I don't think.
Well, real quick, I only got to go. Real quick, I'll just say this: like that Boston team, that's going to be a problem. That's that's what I'm talking about. That's your model now for what you've got to be building here in Chicago.
Wait till Hayward comes back and.
Well, Kyrie Irving too. Yeah,
he's
pretty good. I mean, so once LeBron goes away, at some point he will either retirement or West or what have you. That Boston team's going to be a problem for a long time. And that John kept talking about the versatility of the wing. Yeah. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Hello.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to be contending with for a while.
And does Fred have a Gordon Hayward in his back pocket he can sign in free agency?
I just wondered.
All right. Thanks, KC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.